නමෝ භගවතේ වාසුදේවාය. ඕම් නමෝ භගවතේ වාසුදේවාය. නාරායණං නමස්කෘත්‍යා නරං චෛව නරෝත්තමං දේවීං සරස්වතිං ව්‍යාසං තතෝ ජයමුදීරයේ නෂ්ටප්‍රායේෂු අභද්‍රේෂු නිත්‍යං භාගවත සේවයා භගවති උත්තම ශ්ලෝකේ භක්තිර්භවති නෛෂ්ඨිකී කෘෂ්ණාය වාසුදේවාය දේවකී නන්දනාය ච නන්දගෝපා කුමාරාය ගෝවින්දාය නමෝ නමහ. හරේ කෘෂ්ණ. Today we are going to take a class in English. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 2, Shloka number 8. Bāṇāvimo bhagavata shatapatra patrau. Shāntāvapunkharuchirāvatitikmadantau. කස්මේ යුයං ශසීවනේ විචරන් විද්ම ක්ෂේමායනෝ ජඩධියාම් තව වික්‍රමෝස්තු. බාණාවිමෝ භගවත ශතපත්‍රපත්‍රෝ ශාන්තාව පුංකරුචිරා වතිතිත්ති මදන්තෝ. කස්මෛ යුයං ශසීවනේ විචරන් විද්ම ක්ෂේමායනෝ ජඩධියාම් තව වික්‍රමෝස්තු. බාණාවිමෝ භගවත ශතපත්‍රපත්‍රෝ ශාන්තාවපුංකරුචිරාවති තිග්මදන්තෝ. කස්මෛ යුයං ශසීවනේ විචරන් න විද්ම ක්ෂේමායනෝ ජඩධියාම් තව වික්‍රමෝස්තු. బాణావిమో భగవత శతపత్ర పత్రో. వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ మీనింగ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఇస్ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శిలవరూపాదికి. బాణో టు ఎరోస్ ఇమో దీట్స్ భగవత ఆఫ్ యూ ద మోస్ట్ పవర్ఫుల్ శతపత్ర పత్రో హ్యావింగ్ ఫిదర్స్ like the petals of lotus flower. Shanto, peaceful. Apunkha, without a shaft. Ruchiro, very beautiful. Atitigmadanto, having a very sharp point. Kasmai, whom? Yuyam shasi, you want to pierce. Vane, in the forest. Vicharan, loitering. Navidma, we cannot understand. Shemaya, for welfare. Naha, of us. Jadadhiya, who are dull-headed. Tava, your. Vikrama, prowess. Astu, maybe. So this is not a shloka from Mukunda Mala Stotra, where Kulashekhar is addressing to the Lord, but this is a shloka chanted by Agnidra for Purvachitti. Then Agnidra observed the glancing eyes of Purvachitti and said, "My dear friend, you have two very powerful arrows, namely your glancing eyes. Those arrows have feathers like the petals of a lotus flower. Although they have no shafts, they are very beautiful and they have very sharp, piercing points. They appear very peaceful, and thus it seems that they will not be shot at anyone. You must be loitering in this forest to shoot those arrows at someone, but I cannot understand whom. My intelligence is dull and I cannot combat you. Indeed, no one can equal you in prowess, and therefore I pray that your prowess will be for my good fortune." Agnidra thus began appreciating Purvachitti's powerful glance upon him. He compared her glancing eyes to very sharp arrows. Although her eyes were as beautiful as lotuses, they were simultaneously like shaftless arrows, and Agnidra was therefore afraid of them. He hoped that her glances upon him would be favorable, because he was already captivated, and the more captivated he became, the more impossible it would be for him to remain without her. Agnidra therefore prayed to Purvachitti that her glances at him would be auspicious, not futile. In other words, he prayed that she would become his wife. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Prasharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Rundavaneshwari Vrushabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Nilachala Nivasaya Nityaya Paramatmane Balabhadra Subhadrabhyam Jagannathaya Te Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhyaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. First of all, we seek blessings of all Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna. So before we start, we seek blessings from all of you and the Lord. We are reciting this prayer by Kulashekar Maharaj. So you can chant, we'll try to chant together just to save time. Majjanmana falamidam madukaita bhare mat prarthaniya mad anugraha esha eva tvad brutya brutya paricharaka brutya brutya mrutyasya mrutya iti mam smaralokanatha. The translation goes, my life's only three desires, O Lord, who has killed Madhu and Kaitabha. My prarthaniya, what I desire to pray. Mad anugraha, what I want from you as a mercy. Only this and nothing else. I want to be servant of servant of servant of servant of servant of your servant. So this is the blessed blessings we can ask from the Lord and all the devotees, that let our this endeavor to discuss Bhagavatam today be with the only aim, with the only mercy and only prayer to become servant of servant of servant of servant of servant of servant. So here we will see in this section of Priyavrat and Agnidra, there is an amazing connection between them apart from being father and son. There is a description about Brahma Puchyam or Panchakosha. In the shloka 5th of chapter 13 of Bhagavad Gita, wherein Srila Prabhupada tells about three things, super soul, soul and the field. So soul and super soul both are nores of the field. But the field and soul and super soul, how they interact with the field, that science is very vividly described by Srila Prabhupada in that purport. And therein Srila Prabhupada tells about the Panchakosha, which is also called as Brahma Puchyam or five stages of self-realization. So that ladder we will see very soon, but before that, Priyavrat is at the top stage of that ladder, that is Anandamaya Kosh. And Agnidra is at the bottom of that ladder, that is Annamaya Kosh. So what is this ladder all about? So here you will see this table we made with the help of purport of Srila Prabhupada of Bhagavad Gita chapter 13.5 and also description of this Panchakosha in the chapter 87 of Krishna book by Srila Prabhupada. And along with that, we have some brief explanation by His Holiness Bhaktivedyapurna Maharaj. So if you see these stages, they have four categories each. They have environment, they have symptoms, they have activity or stage, and they have what is most prominent in them. So let us start with Annamaya. So Annamaya Kosh is like, you know, person is hunting for the food. Where is food? Where is food? Where is food? Isn't it? So amazing enough, that doesn't only start and end with the food, but that technically wants to show us, goes on to show us any sense and sense object. When a soul identifying himself with the temporary body is hunting for different sense objects, he is in Annamaya Kosh. Like that. So that's how it's starting with the food, ending with Agnidra. We need to put off the light. Starting with the food and ending with the opposite sex. When person is very much captivated by the sense objects, then his goal only remains whatever attraction, whatever impulse is there to gratify his senses, that becomes his mission of the life. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport says, one of the symptoms in the society at large, people are so much worried about economic development. So that is how these are some categorical symptoms or explanations of annamaya stage. And then we see in the preface to this second chapter, description comes when Agnidra gives up his body and when he takes his next birth. Where he takes his next birth? He takes birth in the planet where Purvachitti is staying, because he is so captivated by her. So one life is not sufficient. So again he takes birth in her planet. Like that. That description comes in the preface. Second is pranamay. So they say like, you know, sar salamat to pagadi pachas. Ya koi bolte pagadi hazar. Hai ki nahi? So people are so much worried about life. You should protect animals. You should protect dogs. You should protect cats. You should protect tigers. You should protect humans. But for what? They don't know. They only appreciate the living symptoms which is around them. So that is a pranamaya kosha. And in that, at society at large or as a country, they will work for defense ministry to have a good defense. Like this corona war, in terms of it is a disease, and some people have the explanation that maybe this is a biological war, isn't it? So people want to protect themselves, and for nourishing themselves, they will try to kill others by various means. And what is most prominent in this pranamaya? Jai Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra Bhagavan Sri Sri Jagannath Valdev Sodharamai Sri Sri Gaur Nitai Srila Prabhupada Ki. Life. Life of others and different isms like philanthropic activities, giving clothing to the people or protecting tigers or like all different varieties of life on the planet, they want to protect them. Different isms. That's how Srila Bhaktivedanta Purna Swami Maharaj summarizes it. And third is Manomaya. It is also called as Jnanamaya. So what is Manomaya? In Manomaya, person is after mental and philosophical speculation, searching for the better values in the life. And in that, he starts appreciating not only senses, not only life, but also he has sensitivity towards the thinking, feeling, willing of himself and others. And that's how he becomes more sensitive, more cultured, a better animal. He is very sensitive in that way. And he is searching for the values. Still, Srila Prabhupada explains that this is only on mental platform. This is not totally spiritual. As far as the Vedic scripture goes, according to Srila Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj, he says that even for Manomaya, people starts following principles of Dharma. So say for example, we may say one place it is saying that it is mental platform, it is materialistic civilization, at the same time Dharma. How to balance this? So if you see in the Bhagavad Gita, when there is a description about karma kanda activities, people are accepting scriptures, people are accepting God, people are accepting different demigods, and they are doing some worship. Their goal is not spirituality. Their goal is sense gratification. And even for that, they will try to go to even heavenly planets. They may be even aware of the soul as a concept, as a truth. But they are not working for the soul. You are getting? They are still hankering is sense gratification. So with that light we can understand that even Manomaya or Jnanamaya, even with some knowledge of soul, focus remains sense gratification. And then comes Vijnanamaya. And Vijnanamaya is something material and spiritual, as explained by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada says that at Vijnanamaya, person starts distinguishing two things from the soul, and that is senses and the mind are not the soul. Senses and the mind are the different entities. We need to treat them separately, and we need to identify our real self, that is soul, and we need to work for its welfare. And then if you see, the Bhaktivedanta Maharaj explains this, like, you know, person is hankering, the goal of his existence is to be freed from material contamination. Aham Brahmasmi. But still Srila Prabhupada is explaining this also as material. How to understand that? So it is not so difficult. Like few days before, His Grace Rupa Goswami Prabhu was giving Bhagavatam class, and he was quoting Prahlad Maharaj. How in the 7th canto, Prahlad Maharaj says, Prayana Deva Munayo Svavimukti Kamas. Even if person may be aware that he is not the body, his spirit, soul, but if his goal is only his own salvation, that I don't want to get entangled into this birth, old age, disease and death, because it is causing suffering to me. So I want the comfort, I want the eternity, and for that I am practicing spirituality, and that is not recommended at the higher spiritual culture as even spiritual. It is called as selfish or even material. Because where these people go? They go at the max in Brahma Jyoti. And in the Brahma Jyoti also, after maybe some millions of years, they again come back. Isn't it? Patantiyadha. Because they have not taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. And beyond that, and that is Anandamaya. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na Shochati na Kangshati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Para. How Krishna explains Anandamaya in Bhagavad Gita by this Brahma Bhuta stage. Where person here, he is a liberated soul. He is Anandamayo Bhyasat. He is completely situated in the bliss. And what are his symptoms? What are his activities? He developed the understanding either Supreme Lord as a Krishna or at least as a super soul. And he has started engaging his body, mind and senses for pleasing their lordships. So that is how actually he is situated in practice of principles of pure devotional service, like this. And after Vijnanamaya, persons attains bliss of Krishna consciousness. And that's why for him the most prominent thing is not his own liberation, but pleasure of Krishna. And for pleasure of Krishna, he is having the meditation 24/7, always. Now when it comes to Mayavadis, they explain this Anandamaya Kosh as the time where soul merges into super soul. So these two knowers of the field, they become one. That is Anandamaya stage according to Mayavadis. But Srila Prabhupada very heavily refutes it in 13.5 purport that it is not like that. Soul and super soul are always separate. They are different. Now we may have a question that okay, Purvachitti, Agnidra, Priyavrat and us, devotees sitting, being part of community of ISKCON Pune NVCC, is there any relevance about this Panchakosha with us? Tell me how it relates to me. So let us try to see the relevance. First of all, to benchmark ourselves. Where am I? Either am I in Annamay or Pranamay or Manomay or Vijnanamay or Anandamay. If you see in third canto, Kapilidev explains practice of sadhana bhakti into 81 varieties. How it is 81 varieties of bhakti? Different permutations and combinations of three modes of material nature. So although we are practicing sadhana bhakti, Till the time we are influenced by these three modes with their different permutations and combinations, we are not practicing pure unalloyed devotional service. It is tinged with the modes. Similarly, you will see some part of the day we are in our Annamaya Kosh, when I will get breakfast. Hope that Prabhuji will not extend the Bhagavatam class. Isn't it? So that is kind of Annamaya Kosh. And sometimes we are in a Pranamaya Kosh, when these various so extreme news of coronas are we are hearing. It is really actually very painful to the heart. But the way, if we don't keep our mind soaked in shelter of lotus feet of Krishna, then it goes in another extreme. We become more of a philanthropic and start worrying about others, worrying about ourselves, worrying for all humanity at large, isn't it? We may spend hours of the time discussing about how this corona, either it is a disease or it is a war, who has started it, isn't it? So maybe we are in Pranamaya that time. Like that you will see, we keep traversing in different koshas among these five. And what is the second relevance? That is to preach and cultivate people. Did Srila Prabhupada follow these principles? So let us see relevance of Annamaya in our preaching and cultivation. So if you see, Srila Prabhupada's most powerful weapon was catching the Annamaya of the Westerners. And all of us, we know, ISKCON bullets. Like, you know, Sridhar Maharaj, he tells that sometimes after the Sunday feast, I used to feel tired. So many services, such a strong morning program, so heavy austerities. What was I? What I am now? I am suffering so much. This Monday I am going to pack my bag. I am going to home. I want to peacefully stay in my family life. But by the time Monday comes, he used to remember that sweet taste of the ISKCON bullets, unlimited gulab jams. He ate 15, sometimes 20. And he said, let me wait for another Sunday. And he said, just by waiting like this, he turned to be Sridhar Swami. So that is the power of ISKCON bullets, isn't it? Then we see the Sunday love feast, or Srila Prabhupada is making 15 course preparation at the marriage of Mukunda and Janki. And the taste of the kachori, what Yamuna tasted there, that taste caught her by her neck to dedicate her life. And she dedicated her throat by singing Govinda Madhipurusham Tamaham Bhujami. So that is the glory of engaging Annamaya Kosh of a conditioned soul with proper balance or proper solution. That is Krishna conscious. Then if you remember, the way preaching started in San Francisco or even in England, what was that? It was the rock show initiated by Mukund Prabhu, then now Mukund Maharaj. Mukund Prabhu, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, Gurudas Prabhu. That was their instrument. They will sing. They will have rock shows and people were becoming devotees. And then we see in our own situation that we have our Govinda snacks, Govinda's restaurant, we have banquet halls for the conducting marriages of the people. But that is helping them knowingly or unknowingly that they are serving their lordships and they are getting spiritual credits. And then something more on Annamaya. So it is like, you know, the last line you can see, way to heart starts from the tongue, goes to the stomach, isn't it? So to win any person, maybe he is a layman outside, or he is a scholar, or he is a musician, or he is a very rich person, or he is a very pious person. Everyone has the weakest link, and that is tongue. If we feed them nice prasadam, they take to Krishna consciousness. Then let us see whether pranamaya has any relevance to Krishna consciousness in terms of preaching and cultivating people. And you see, the Food for Life program started by Srila Prabhupada himself. And now, recently, His Grace Shivaddi Prabhu with His Annamrita team feeding thousands of people. Not only that, He has helped some of the village people whose houses were totally tormented by this. It was a hurricane or what? Nisarga? Nisarga. By that, some of the villages were totally destroyed. And Shivaddi Prabhu went to these people. He went and gave them their necessities. He helped them for repair of their shelters. And to each family, he gave the photo of Ram Darbar. So that they remain connected to the Vedic cultures and Vedic teachings. That's how in our scenario, right from the top, even to the paupers, through this, we can build their faith in Krishna consciousness. Then how about Manomaya? So Manomaya is like our cultural programs, isn't it? Like we have our Santarika, where we invite people for different cultural programs, people come for singing Bhagavad Gita in front of the lordships on the most auspicious day of Gita Jayanti, which is also Mokshada Ekadashi, and they are reciting Bhagavad Gita. They may not know the depth of it, what they are doing, but by just doing that service, their eternal spiritual life is starting. Then various contests, like, you know, we have our Rangoli contests or painting contest done by our Toshan Nimai Prabhu, isn't it? Or our value education contest, school contest, where we distribute Bhagavad Gita in thousands. And through this contest, people read Bhagavad Gita. All students, mother, father, family, everyone. And at least with the hankering of getting prize, they imbibe the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. What a deep samskara it is. So that's how it makes relevant for us to engage the manomaya kosha of the people direct to Krishna consciousness. Then, what about relevance of Vigyanmaya? The way we see people like His Grace Brahmananda Prabhu or His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, they were searching for absolute truth. They were searching for the core spirituality. That was their thirst. It is not so common, very rare, but people are there. And they landed up at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. By the various preaching activities done by Srila Prabhupada and His divine disciples. And we have our ISKCON temple, where we follow all 64 limbs of devotional service day in and day out, creating such a golden opportunity for the people to practice direct Krishna consciousness. And not only that, we also have our daily morning Bhagavatam classes, or we have devotees who are doing Bhagavat Katha, like we have His Grace Sarvabhavam Prabhu, or we have His Holiness Bhakti Ashraya Vaishnava Swami Maharaj, who come regularly for doing Bhagavat Katha. And even people with the mundane concept of doing Bhagavat Katha, maybe by that organization of Bhagavat Katha, my daughter will get her good family life, or my son will get good education. At least they are conducting Bhagavad Gita. And glorification of Lord is taking place. Someone is preaching about pure teachings of Srila Prabhupada right into Gaudiya Parampara. And then they are distributing Srimad Bhagavatam seeds, they are distributing prasadam. And that's how they are engaging into pure devotional service. And what about relevance in Anandamaya? So we see two examples came to my mind, but you may have more. Like recently someone was telling about how His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, before he went back to Godhead, he shares this with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, that he knows
what is his eternal constitutional position. And he notes, doors for the Golok Vrindavan are just about to open. And he's just waiting for the appropriate time. So some people say that Srila Prabhupada has only given us ABCD of spiritual life. If that would have been case, where was the time that His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj went to Radhakund, found some another Shiksha Guru and took some, you know, Siddha Pranali Mantra from him, and then he attained the pure devotional service and he became qualified to practice Raganuga Bhakti? Not required. Actually, in one of the lectures, Tattva Vivek, I think, or Tattva Sandarbha, His Grace Kamal Lochan Prabhu came and he gave the first camp in Kunja Bihari when we started our Vrinda camps. So there he was saying that I had such a thirst to read all the commentaries. I learned Sanskrit, I learned nicely all commentaries, and when I learned all of that, and when I again opened Srila Prabhupada's books, to my amazement, I felt so awkward. I felt so dejected that why I spent so many years. Because whatever different acharyas have written in their different individual commentaries, Srila Prabhupada has synthesized all that together in his Bhaktivedanta purports. Srila Prabhupada ki! So that's how His Holiness Bhaktivedyapurna Maharaj says that if you read Srila Prabhupada books nicely, you will become 20 times qualified to go back home, back to Godhead, Golok Vrindavan. Just Prabhupada books. That is the power of Srila Prabhupada books. That is the power of Bhaktivedanta Purport. That's how you see, I am not able to recollect the name of the Mataji who is described in the book, Simple for the Simple. She is one of the Prabhupada disciples. And she also narrates the same experiences to her husband, that how she has revived her Raganuga Krishna Priya. So about personal application, what we can take for ourselves. So just to put into vision that we want to be always 24/7 into Anandamaya. And recently His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, when he was remembering His Holiness Bhaktichara Swami Maharaj, he was telling about the person, OBL Kapoor, who used to meet Srila Prabhupada regularly in Allahabad, when Srila Prabhupada was having his own pharmaceutical business. And one day, this OBL Kapoor asks, Mr. Day, what are you doing? And Srila Prabhupada says, I got a formula. That formula I am going to give to the entire world. And this formula is very powerful, foolproof. This medicine will work for everyone. So then OBL Kapoor becomes, you know, very curious, what is this medicine? He says, can you just tell what is the formula? And Srila Prabhupada says, Trunadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. And that is the formula which is given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is the formula what Srila Prabhupada imbibed by his own character and activities. Otherwise, to preach Western people, and not only in one country, he established 108 temples. Can you imagine? That when he went to South Africa, his dhoti was worn by one devotee, whose uttari was worn by another devotee, and his kurta was worn by third person. And when he was chanting Jai Radha Madhava, he was only identifying, there is my dhoti, there is my uttari, there is my kurta. So such kind of special people of the age of Kali, sometimes we think, Prabhuji, maybe there is not proper understanding. People don't understand me. I don't have sufficient friends. I don't have healthy relationships. But if you only see people like this, where there is no education and knowledge about what to wear and how to wear, such kind of people Prabhupada approached. And when in his final days, one of the little crazy disciples who was very good devotee, but little disoriented. I may go little overtime. Little disoriented, he comes to Srila Prabhupada and he says, "This Prabhupada," and these are the final few months of Prabhupada in his earthly pastimes. Prabhupada is like, you know, lying. He cannot even get up at his back strength. Says, "Prabhupada, are you leaving us just like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, where it is described he was disgusted by the neophyte nature of his disciples?" Srila Prabhupada heard that. He jumped from his bed, totally erect, and he said, "No, I am proud of each of you." So that was the compassion of Srila Prabhupada. He was not affected by the neophyte natures of the people trying to them to be Krishna conscious. Let us just hear what Srila Prabhupada has to say about humility. This is Bhagavad Gita chapter 13, shlokas 8 to 12. Srila Prabhupada writes, "Humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others." So that is how it is. Almost all the time, 24/7, if you see, if we are sitting for the chanting, and by Krishna's grace, if you are fresh enough, you are not tired enough, and you are chanting nicely for many hours, maybe 16 rounds, 32 rounds, you are chanting very nicely, no sleep, whether we remember Krishna? We don't remember. You will see, most of the time we are thinking about what about my services, what about my relationships, what about my health, me. Even if we are awake, still we are self-centered. So that's how it is, so very deeply rooted that we want recognition, we want appreciation, and we are very thirsty for this. And then, I don't want to go quite ahead, just to want to have a time limit. But then, Srila Prabhupada is saying, the material conception of life makes us very eager to receive honor from others. But from the point of view of a man in perfect knowledge, who knows that he is not this body, anything, honor or dishonor, pertaining to this body is useless. Something similar he explains about tolerance. Just before that, want to share one more example, anecdote of Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. When he was a Ghanashyam Prabhu, a Brahmachari in US, when he was staying with all other white devotees, they were discriminating him because he was black. And he goes to Srila Prabhupada and says, "Srila Prabhupada, this is the pain of my heart. Our philosophy is, we are not the body, we are spirit soul. But these people are not treating me like soul. They are discriminating by the color of the skin." And Srila Prabhupada, amazing enough, this is one of the initial meetings of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj as a devotee with Prabhupada. He doesn't give him, you know, solace. But kind in his heart, kind in his talk, but words are very enlightening. He says, if they discriminate you because of the color of your body, they are not advanced. But if you feel pain by their such discrimination, so you are sharing the same disease. That means, Srila Prabhupada says, if you are experiencing the pain by that, that means you are also on bodily concept. Something on tolerance, the same purport. Srila Prabhupada says, very amazingly, definition of tolerance. Tolerance means that one should be practiced. One should be practiced to bear insult and dishonor from others. So this is part of our sadhana bhakti. These are words as it is from the Prabhupada's purport. Nothing adulteration. He is saying, one should be practiced for bearing insult and dishonors from others. So good homework. If you see the next quote, he's saying, it is written there bold, This is expected because material nature is so constituted. So part of our life dishonors, neglects or insults, sometimes knowingly or unknowingly, will happen in our life. Just maybe some another 2-3 minutes we'll take. Here is a very nice quote. This we heard from His Holiness Bhaktivrat Bhagavat Maharaj. If you have heard his Japa Reform Workshop, what he does, there he tells this. He says, in the beginning, tolerance is like a poison, you know. Someone is misbehaving with you and you are like, you know, clenching your fist. Maybe I can pounce upon his face, isn't it? But no, I am a Vaishnava, he is a Vaishnava. I should not do that. It will be offense. So like, you know, grudgingly we are tolerating. But he said, you make that habit slowly, slowly, slowly. You will increase your strength to lift the weight. And then he says, as the tolerance keeps on increasing, compassion starts rising. Humility starts developing. And if you see in all of our life, all of us, each of us, we know where we, when we were uncultured, when we were rude in our behavior with some devotee, what follows? Isn't it? All of us, we have our conditioned nature. Whenever we are rude, disrespectful, insensitive toward others, immediately desires for lust arise in our heart. And that again, what you say, puts us down with a hammer, with the annamaya kosh, where we again start hankering for the pleasure of sex life. So that is the power of Vaishnava Aparadha. No matter at what stage a person is, if one commits Vaishnava Aparadha, he will be rooted again back to the annamaya kosh. So that is how it is important that we practice this tolerance. And then you will ask how that we develop humility and compassion. Because when we will remember our tough times, that we offended some devotee and it was a tough time for us to deal with lust or dissatisfaction. Sometimes we feel dissatisfied. Our enemies in association of devotee starts becoming more. So many more that on the reject list there are more devotees than normal list. And the very association which is meant for us to go back home, back to Godhead, becomes intolerable. And person starts feeling, I want to breathe peacefully. And he feels that if he goes out of association, he will get some peace of mind. So this is a power of Vaishnava Pradhats. But when we have come out of such difficulties and still practicing Krishna consciousness, and that time when you see some new devotee, he is committing some offense, you will not become angry upon him. You will have compassion for him. You will have forgiveness for him. And we will actually pray for that person, that unfortunately he is able, not able to appreciate that deeper understandings of Krishna consciousness. He is still hovering either in his annamaya, pranamaya and manomaya kosh. And we will actually pray for that person to their lordships. And that is amanina manadena. So whenever in our life, if these things happens, best thing is, you know, if someone is behaving badly with us, try to find his good intention. Although behavior, although action is bad, we see his good intention. That he must be having some good intention. Give a benefit of doubt. And if, even if you are sure that he does not have any good intention, still one person has the good intention. You know who? Krishna has the good intention for us. Because even if that practicing devotee, maybe that he does not have a good intention, but Krishna is giving that experience to us, means Krishna wants to reveal us our intolerance, our arrogance, where we have so many expectations from the devotees around us. And if we identify that well-wishing heart of Krishna for us, then we will be able to see the heart of Krishna in our dealings with even such people. Sometimes maybe unfortunately few devotees who are neophytes or outsiders. And we will understand that this person is still suffering with this annamaya, pranamaya and manomaya kosh. But I am not the same person. Like Srila Prabhupada tells to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, that if you have a pain, then you are also sharing the skin disease. Same disease. And then you see, when with such tolerance and forgiveness, when we pray for that person, we forgive that person, we experience such a peace of mind, such an immense shelter in the lotus feet of Krishna and in His holy names. And the practical example is Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur. When he was beaten in 22 marketplaces and the prosecutors were requesting him that you please die, otherwise we will be killed. He says, okay, I die. And he gives up his bodily symptoms. And even before that, when Lord Chaitanya comes with the Sudarshan Chakra in his hand, Haridas Thakur says, oh Lord, they don't know what they are doing. Please don't punish them. So that is the sign of our struggles in our Krishna consciousness gives us better shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna and in His holy names and scriptures and Vaishnavas who are liberated, who are advanced than us, and by their blessings we build the muscles and we develop compassion and prayerful heart for the people who are not like a ripened mangoes. They are unripe mangoes. But His Holiness Bhakti Prabhupada Bhagavat Maharaj says, give them some time, they will become ripened. Now they are tasting bitter, give them some time, they will become sweet. So that is how this Trunadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari is a very powerful formula which is given to us by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, and it is so very easy to access and easy to practice in our life. Because it is said in association of devotees, it is sure that we will get purified. So that should not be our despondency, oh, I am going to get purified. But that should be our aspiration, like that. His Holiness Bhakti Vidyapurna Maharaj says, I will not explain much, I will just quote this. He says, the shelter giver for the dependent, or a father for a son, or a husband for the wife, is the person who is called as a masculine, person who offers shelter to others. And the person who is neophyte, he doesn't know how to nourish himself, how to maintain himself. It is like a son, it is like a daughter, or it is like a wife. But he says, you know who is ultimate man? Who is the ultimate man amongst conditioned souls? One who has followed this in his life. One who breathes this shloka. And that shloka is, Trunadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. I am extremely grateful to all of you. I beg forgiveness if I have hurted any of you by some of my hard speech. Seek blessings of all of you that I become servant of servant of servant of servant of servant of servant of servants. Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda ki, Nitai Gaur Brahmanandam.